I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Browns losing 27-10 yesterday to the Chargers to go to 2-7 on the season. Real nice story. Won't make you happy, Andy. On cleveland.com about Jim Harbaugh and his Cleveland ties.
I actually really enjoyed that story.
I did too.
I'm not going to lie. The fact that his parents, for their honeymoon, went to a Browns-Giants game.
That's fabulous.
Because he got free tickets because he was
high
school.
The day after they got married.
The only thing I didn't like about it was it made Art Modell look like a good guy. Right?
You're like, yeah, I guess that's true.
I mean, the hard part about Art is as much as like I still upset about the move.
Should have sold the team.
There were things about, yeah, he should have just sold the team. Just sell the team, take the money, and then go buy Baltimore. That's what he should have done. Why was that so hard?
Yep, wasn't so hard.
And I don't think he would have
been. Although there was no expansion team at the time. It became one several years later, as we know.
Yeah, but they were forced to do the expansion team, right? So why wouldn't they have just done it that way?
It was a nice story, though. Go read it on Cleveland.
It was actually pretty cool. For as much as I'm not a big
Jim Harbaugh saying, I have great Cleveland memories coming here for Christmas and summer vacations. And I thought, okay, great.
I kind of felt like he was the...
Here's some salt. Where's that wound? I love Cleveland. We just kicked your butt.
I didn't remember it when I was a player in the NFL, I remember it as an adult and, all my years at Michigan. And
We were asked about John Dorsey in our last segment, and I liked John as a GM.
I did too.
I did. I thought he did a nice job here.
Football.
And I thought he did a nice job. Can I point this one out? He loved Baker. I know a lot of people love Baker. This is not going to be a Baker debate.
Mm-hmm.
There are two quarterbacks out of that class who are clearly head and shoulders above the other guys in that class.
Mm-hmm.
And if you remember, the big debate was, who are you going to take number one? And it was Baker, Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen.
Oh, man.
Josh Allen.
I remember the five of those guys sitting together at the draft.
And then the other guy, the fifth guy who was on the outs, who, nobody thought much of, that Lamar Jackson fellow.
Who was Lamar Jackson?
And, the rough part is that, John picked Baker.
Because he liked him.
Okay. Yeah, Baker's clearly a competent NFL quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
I think you could say that Sam Darnold is clearly a competent NFL quarterback. But two guys have future Hall of Fame quarterback written all over them, and the Browns didn't take one of those two guys with John Dorsey. So that's always going to be something that sticks in my head. And good to have John still living in town. I like John.
See him occasionally.
Yeah. I thought he did a nice job here.
We have a lot of guys that stuck around town.
Dorsey is the name that's still involved with the franchise, and that's Ken Dorsey, the offensive coordinator. Oh, Andy.
Yeah.
I root for people. I don't root against people. I like to see everybody succeed. Players around the NFL, I don't care. I like to see everybody play well. Everybody do well. Great. That's, I know, naive and stupid. Great. This offense has scored more than 18 points in one game this year. This team has scored more than 18 points in a game. You mentioned Ken Dorsey's name earlier. Does some big move happen here at the bye week that involves something with the staff? The Raiders let go of three coaches, including their offensive coordinator, Luke Getsy, the former Akron Zip. Could the Browns make a change at offensive coordinator, and how bad would that look?
Now? I don't think they're doing it now.
I don't think so either.
The only way they're doing
it now.
Wouldn't
it look terrible if you did it now?
There would have to be huge personality conflicts to let somebody go right now.
Which we wouldn't know about.
I don't think Ken Dorsey's that guy. Someone's going to have to take the fall for this at the end of the year. It's still the NFL, isn't it? Let me check. Yep, still the NFL. So someone's probably going to get fired at the end of the year. And when you consider that, I mean, they went from, you know, different defensive coordinator, which seemed to be an upgrade. Special teams, I still don't quite understand why they made this switch there. I thought Mike Prefer was a pretty good coach. And, I mean, he ended up retiring. So, but I'll still never, like, quite understand why he was let go and they brought Bubba in. But that's okay. Bubba was around him. I mean, special teams is special teams. So,
What does that mean? You have special teams guys who just, like, threw something at their radio.
It's special teams. I mean, what do you want me to say? Are you banking on a win or a loss on special teams?
Could you? Three phases of the game, and every phase is as critical as the next.
Well, trust me, I think special teams is unbelievably. I'm the guy that quotes Jim Tressel saying the punt is the most important play in the game.
And you like long snappers.
I'm a huge long snapper fan. Huge. Big fan of that. Punters, kickers, I'm the champion for the little guy. But my point is, I don't think you're going to. Firing a special teams coach at the end of the year when you're not firing the head coach just is kind of like background. It's Muzak. It's Muzak.
Can I add on that?
Sure.
The Browns have had some coaching changes over the last couple of years, right?
Mm-hmm.
The special teams move doesn't look like it's better or worse, right? One way or the other.
I don't know. The other guy won a playoff game for you.
The offensive line situation is worse. Whether that's because of Bill Callahan and Andy Dickerson, you can put in your own input there. The running backs coach situation, Stump Mitchell not here, Deuce Staley is. Is it Deuce's fault that the offensive line has been just a mess? I don't think that's the case. Has any running back stepped up and made great improvements this year? I don't know that that's the case. I'm a Deontay Foreman fan. I'd love to see him get more carries, but we're not seeing him.
Can we give Nick a couple weeks to get back to normal here before we start?
No, without question, Andy, without question. And, you know, I like Deontay. I like Pierre Strong. Jerome Ford did a fine job last year. I don't see much difference with the running backs, except they're not performing real well. Maybe that's play calling. Maybe it's the line, whatever. I don't think it's Deuce Staley. Deuce is a good coach.
Mm-hmm.
And then you make the offensive coordinator change. And that's clearly not helped. I don't know that that's the problem. But, boy, it's clearly not helped. That's fair to say, is it not?
Yeah.
Kevin is in Cuyahoga Falls. Kevin.
Hey, Kev.
Gentlemen, how are we doing today?
Good. How are you?
Great. Well, actually, in full disclosure, since we're all sharing, I'm on the road to the airport. I'm going to St. Louis. So, in transit, if you'll have to say that.
Very nice. Be safe.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. Hey, Andy, saw your post-game show. Loved it. Thought it was great. That's an awesome show. I love that. How are you guys?
Make sure you're listening to Jeff, though.
You're listening to ours on the Browns Radio Network, Kevin?
Yep. Make sure you're doing both.
I meant the one on TV.
Kevin.
I saw him. Yeah. And Andy, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but
sure.
I'm just going to say sounded like maybe you were suggesting that the Browns need a little bit of reality pie, so to speak, and their chances for the postseason is basically zero or so small you might as well call it zero.
Yeah.
And because of that, it might be time to maybe showcase some of our younger guys and see what we've got in preparation of the draft, which would include let's get DTR out there, bad, good, or indifferent. Let's get him out there to at least see what we got in the kid, because him on the bench and not playing doesn't show us anything. So
totally agree. I said all this like probably an hour ago, but that's okay.
Well,
I agree with you.
And I agree with you. And I agree with you, Andy. I think this is the time, let's be honest, we're not making the playoffs. Our season's done. And if we're going to play for next year, which I think we are now, if we don't know what our young guys can do, then we don't know what we're doing for the draft. So to me, the best move for the Browns is to prepare for the draft, which is – see what our young guys can do. So, and I would totally love, not that I expect too many wins, but I want to see DTR out there. I want to see what we can do. Let him start the remainder of the season, and now we know what we got in the guy or what we don't have him in him. But at least we know.
Amen, Kev. Amen.
Thank you very much. Drive safely.
Unless you really believe deep down that they can, you know, win out, they can win 8 straight games, and if you want to wait one more week and make the switch, okay, I'm all right with it. I mean, I can live with it, but at some point you're going to have to say completely over. Like the majority of everyone is just done. We're all there. We had a glimmer of hope because we felt like it was optimism, because of the way they played last week. I mean, let's face it. They beat the Ravens last week. And I mean, that's a good win. It's a great win,
That was a great game. They played well. The worst pass defense in the NFL at the time, but who cares? It was the Baltimore Ravens, and they got a win. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, stingiest defense in the NFL. They put up 10 points.
They needed to win two or three at home, even at the worst, in this three-game homestand. And now we only have three home games left, which seems bizarre.
Waverly Willis is with us.
How are you, Waverly?
WW?
I'm good. Hey, guys, how's everything going?
We're good. It's a therapy Monday, isn't it? I mean, we're somewhere between depression and apathy.
Well, you know what? I don't feel bad for you because
you
this
shouldn't.
Is a come to Jesus moment here.
Okay.
Cleveland, why are you all so delusional? At my barbershop last week, it's guys in there talking about we win one game.
Yep.
One game last week. They talking about different scenarios that we can make the playoffs and go to the Super Bowl. Come on, dude. We can't be like this. It's like being in a bad relationship, and she just keeps calling us back. You know, because she decides to cook us dinner or something. Oh, well, she made a great meal, and then she goes back out and scratches our car up or something. Come on.
Pork chops?
At least for this year. No. This year, it's a wrap. Cleveland, it's a wrap.
Hey, Waverly, let me ask you this. When they come in the cuts, right, and they're you know, chopping it up about the Browns, do they leave good tips? Are they taking care of you?
What?
Do they leave good tips? Is everybody taking it? So it's good to be. So maybe in some ways it's good to be optimistic. You live the same life we do, right?
Right?
I think barbershops are
talking about this year. This year it's a wrap.
Yeah.
Lightning only strikes once in one time in one place. Lightning struck for the Browns last year in Flacco.
I don't know if that's true. Did you ever read the Guinness Book of World Records when you were a kid? And they had that one park ranger that got hit seven times.
Stop drinking the Kool-Aid, bro.
Seven times.
That's bad luck.
I'm with you, Waverly.
Stay tuned and listen to Todd. Todd's in Ward 1. Todd.
Do you remember that guy from Guinness Book of World Records?
Yeah. I do. I still have my Guinness Book of World Records.
Yeah, thank you, Todd. Remember? And he's got his hat. He's got his hat. He's sitting there.
Smoking.
He's in the Guinness.
It's still smoking.
Yeah, it's got the lightning. I'm like, man, that guy, how many
Todd,
times that guy get hit?
Got about 45 seconds, buddy.
And just so you know, that's the old record. There's a new record now. But
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, check this out. They have not had – now, I'm not a crazy optimist, but I am an optimist. They have not had enough division play yet to count them out from making the playoffs. That is a realistic statement.
Todd, did you major in math?
No, but I was exceptional in it and still am. I'm a realistic optimist or optimistic realist.
Well, you know what, Todd?
Let
me fire along the lines. That guy's name was Royce E. Sullivan.
Okay.
Shenandoah National Park in Virginia.
God.
He got hit
seven
times.
Take Google.
I did not know this, and now you're smarter. We can end the show on this.
Take it away.
Almost 90% of all lightning strike victims survive. This is according to AI.
That's right.
There you go.
Thank you.
Right.
Todd, thank you, buddy.
I did not know that.
Down with the Browns and the Dog Pound.
There you go, Todd.
I do not want to be one of the people that finds out, though, if you're in the 10%.
Lee Trevino, Bobby Nichols. Remember that? And they're playing golf?
No.
During a golf tournament.
Lee got hit?
And Bobby Nichols, former club pro at Firestone,
who was on tour. All I know is in Caddyshack, man, he was having a great round.
Kevin Stefanski's press conference, 1 o'clock or so, right here on The Fan. He's Andy Baskin. He's kind of cute. I'm Jeff Phelps.
Way over the line. Very awkward.
Oh, no. You take that as a compliment immediately.
Dan, you remember those big plastic shields we had in here during COVID? Can we please get those back right after
Jeff's
COVID?
Drum cage?
Yeah, they're right over here.
Can we get those back up, please?
Thank you. Felt like I was just drumming away. Those were beneficial.
Compliments as such don't come around very often, my friend. I would take that as a compliment.
I should take it, especially after listening to evil Jeff Phelps earlier today?
I would very much take that as a compliment.
What are you saying, evil?
You were evil Jeff Phelps on that one guy. You were. It's like a different person. We like evil Jeff Phelps. I'm not going to lie.
Do you?
We love it. Yeah, it's when you say something to Jeff Phelps that there's only two ways to get it. One, you have to come after him personally in a phone call. And then two, it's...
Yeah, don't do that. That's no fun.
Yeah, it's not fun. That's not who Jeff is. Me, I'm a different story. Like, you know, I'll go ballistic anytime. So.
Sure.
The other time is when you say... My favorite thing is to say something like... So, Jeff, what you're trying to say or what you're saying is, and then you're like, no, I just said what I said. Didn't you listen to me?
I don't think I yell like that.
Dan, close.
I get to the point, though.
No, he doesn't really yell. He gets a little louder, and then it's a
volume control thing.
Yeah, he's got more
tension. A little more tension.
A little
in
more
the
tension.
Voice.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Just a little more tension in the voice. It's not a bad way to.
I'd like to have like maybe 3 or 4 phone calls. Just just say something. Drive Jeff crazy. Like right now.
That's great.
Just to watch him unravel here on the air on a Browns Therapy Monday, and then you can call in and you can settle him down on a Monday. That'd be great.
Why are you fishing for grumpiness?
I'm actually not. I'm just so blah over the Browns game yesterday, and I don't want to start the with the draft.
And we didn't want to go like big Browns Therapy Monday today. Because
but it is.
Well, the bye week kind of is like, all right, let's reset here and see where we are and assess where things are, especially when your bye week is right in the middle of the season. I mean,
it could have been such a great thing,
You're more than halfway through this season. And you're 2-7.
What are we playing for, Jeff?
Playing for pride? Nothing.
Playing for tape? Playing to represent the good people of Northeast Ohio by beating Pittsburgh twice?
Yeah, the draft guy in me wants to say, hey, lose as many games as possible. Get as high a pick as possible. That's no fun.
It's such a loser's mentality.
Exactly. That's no fun. Who wants to do that?
Yeah.
And you have some veterans on this team. We're still trying to win football games. Going to be trying to win football games. That's a good thing. It's just that I truly think that there's some reassessing that needs to be done with many aspects of this team. I look at other teams and I see, and they just keep throwing skill position talent at you. And I'll give the Browns wide receivers credit. With Jameis Winston throwing the ball to them the last couple of games, they've looked better. I wonder if that's enough. Look at Green Bay, the amount of investment that Green Bay has thrown into wide receivers. And look at Cincinnati, the amount that Cincinnati threw into wide receivers. They running backs. Like Detroit signed David Montgomery. Then what did they do? A month or two later, drafted Jahmyr Gibbs. Wow, okay. Right. And they got lucky. They drafted Amon-Ra St. Brown after, I think it was, the Browns took Anthony Schwartz. It's you can't have enough skill position talent in this league. I truly believe that. And I don't think the Browns have enough. Even with the wide receivers stepping up a little bit, I'm curious to see what's going to happen here. I really like the looks of Cedric Tillman. In these last three games, he's been outstanding, Andy. But you're going to take that to the bank and think that Ced's your number one wide receiver, number two wide receiver? I think maybe you could if by the end of this year. But let's see what he does the rest of the way. But I like what I've seen so far. What? Jerry Jeudy, he's been better. Elijah Moore, hit or miss here in the last couple of games.
We never really hit this at the beginning of the show, and we started to go there, and we never got there.
How'd you derail us?
Well, you did, actually. Do you think... What? Never.
Lunch?
Lunch? Oh, lunch. Are you getting lunch?
No, I thought that's where you were going. We never addressed lunch. We should have.
Oh, yeah. What are we doing for lunch?
Again? I dropped the ball on that one.
I missed that.
I don't know. Something good?
Remember when Dan used to do the sprint over to the pizza place? And he would come back and bring his pizzas? That guy's gone. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, we don't have to worry about it.
He's gone. Long gone. Those were the good old days, weren't they? When you could force, you weren't an intern, but you could force an intern to go get you lunch, and it was not a big deal, and they expected it to get coffee and stuff like that. But going back to my bigger question.
We have HR departments now.
Yeah, yeah. Because I was the guy that always had to go get coffee, by the way.
It was my gig.
Yeah, I mean, we were good at it. Maybe we should have stuck with that. We would have a successful career.
We had something, and we busted out of it.
We probably would own like a million shops right now if we did that. But my bigger point is, do you think the Browns are going to try to make some kind of major move before tomorrow at 5?
My gut tells me that something is going to happen other than just, say, trading Za'Darius Smith.
You're saying, like, staffing?
I think something bigger than that's going to happen. I could be completely wrong. I just sit here and I'm thinking.
I just don't understand. What does that mean?
It could mean front office. It could mean coaching staff. It could mean player who we don't expect to be traded to be traded.
I just don't see it. I think
at 2-7, halfway through the season, why? If you think something's not working, well, change it now.
I never once thought the Browns would be buyers at the trade deadline, even walking into the season. Like, I never thought that they'd be a team, unless they had like an injury or wide receiver where they thought maybe they can go out and get one good player. And Daryl reminded me of this about 1,000 times yesterday while we were doing the It's Always Game Day in Cleveland postgame hit. That,
click, click, click.
This isn't baseball, right? This isn't baseball. This isn't basketball.
Where trading one guy makes a huge difference in your team.
Yeah, it's just not. It's not. Yeah. It's football. And
the only guy who could make a huge difference in your team plays the quarterback position.
That's it. That's all. And who's bringing in a quarterback midseason to get them to the playoffs? If you're bringing a quarterback in midseason and you're trying to salvage a season that's probably mid, that's kind of mid.
Your quarterback either got hurt or you don't have one, and you're throwing a dart at a dartboard hoping you find a guy who might be your quarterback next year.
And you really don't feel good about your backup. That's the other thing too. You can't feel good about your backup because why'd you bring him in the first place?
I'd agree.
So. I don't see them doing anything major. Like, my expectations are very low as far as trading guys. I think they are so handcuffed by this Deshaun Watson contract that it's going to be difficult for them to do anything. Outside, they're not going to be able to do anything outside of a guy who's on the last year of his deal. I just don't see it.
I wonder. You tell me. I think the answer to this is no. Do you think there's any team in the NFL that would think, you know what, we might be able to fix him. And we have some salary we'd send back your way if you send us Deshaun and a
first rounder,
second rounder, second and third.
I think that's their goal. That might be one of their goals for the offseason. I mean, if you're trying to figure out, let him get through surgery, let him start to throw the football around again if you're thinking about trading him. And if you think the right thing to do is try to, I don't know. How many first-round picks do you think you'd have to give up?
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
To get someone to take on this contract. I think
one.
It's higher, too.
Menigan says more.
Higher.
Multiple first round picks to get rid of a guy.
Yes.
If it's going to be the worst trade in NFL history, well, let's make it the absolute worst trade in NFL history.
You had to pay to get him and pay to get rid of him.
Two.
To take that contract alone, yes. And the idea that you would then have to turn around and pay him if you're that team, it might be two. Yeah. I don't think you could get, because you got to think, the Brock Osweiler deal that the Browns made, right?
Right.
Remember where they traded for Brock Osweiler?
Who should have started.
Right. And
who absolutely looked like the best quarterback that year in the preseason. Yeah. Absolutely.
Right. But on top of that one, though, what? They basically, it was Brock Osweiler and a second round pick, right?
Yeah.
That's basically what it was. So that contract was pretty crummy, and that was a second round pick. So a contract that's super crummy, I think, would have to probably be a first and maybe more.
Okay, humor me here.
Okay.
Especially because I think Brock was 1 year.
Humor me here.
Yeah, he was.
Mm-hmm. I don't think this.
I liked him. There were some bad people.
Paul. I don't think this works.
There were people that said bad things about him. I never once saw that. Bad teammate. Didn't see that once. I remember we were in Green Bay for
Paul,
a preseason game. Yeah. Keep going.
Tell me if this is anything. The Atlanta Falcons just signed Kirk Cousins as a free agent. Gave him a 4-year contract worth $180 million. He has 3 years to go on that contract.
Okay.
And it's a big contract. $180 million, $100 million in guarantees. I don't know if the logistics work on this. Then they drafted Michael Penix in the first round. And Kirk Cousins came out and said, "Well, Minnesota never did me like Atlanta did." after he already was in Atlanta now.
Yeah.
Is something like this feasible? You trade Deshaun and he's from Georgia. You trade Deshaun to the Falcons and attach a number one and get Kirk Cousins.
Again, the dead cap kills you next year, right? Is that right?
So the dead cap would kill you. The other part
because,
of it, too?
Because of the trade, the dead cap would kill you just by trading him. Right. The salaries don't equal that out and cancel some of that out.
But the other
I'll readily admit I don't get all the cap
fine.
Stuff.
So the dead cap hit would take place on those, and it'd be pretty nasty. The other side of that, too, is Kirk Cousins' contract has no guaranteed money in it after 2026. So basically what they're telling you by drafting Michael Penix is we're never going to be this high again, so let's get our dude for the future. And then that way, if they think Penix is the dude for the future in 26, they can cut him, and it's not the end of the world.
So in other words, you're telling me forget about that one.
It's a great idea until you look at the schematics of it all, or semantics, or whichever one it is.
Interesting.
I don't know.
We're going to get more into Browns talk in a little bit. Back-to-back Milwaukee Bucks, Doc Rivers, his team is struggling. Kenny Atkinson's team isn't. Next on Baskin and Phelps. I'm looking at the NBA standings, Andy.
Yeah?
There are two teams with a zero in that L column. Two. One in each conference.
You mean the Oklahoma City Thunder?
Who still have about 97 first-round draft choices stored up.
Yeah, they do.
Sam Presti, take a bow. Outstanding work. And your Cleveland Cavaliers, who do not have 97 first-round draft choices stored up. So good thing they're winning now. Way to go. They're playing really good basketball under Kenny Atkinson. Dare I say, congratulations.
On your good start?
Well done. No, that's a given. Hmm. And doing what I thought was quite obvious and not necessarily easy, but certainly doable. Figuring out how to get two big guys to play together and still score the basketball without having to stand behind the three-point line all day.
It's kind of fun.
I did not understand that whole thinking the last couple of years that, you know, people screaming, you can't play two bigs. No, yeah, you can. Big usually is something that you want in the NBA. And by golly, it's working. Evan Mobley at 17.7 points a game. Third leading scorer on the Cavs, Jared Allen, 15.1 points per game. Well done, fellas. Jared's averaging a double-double. Evan is close. Well done, fellas. Well done, Kenny. Nobody playing more than 30 minutes a game. He's going deep with the roster and allowing some guys to get a little more playing time. And it's working. And I give him a lot of credit for that. Last year, under J.B. Bickerstaff, the defense was terrific, and they did some really good things. J.B. took this team a step every year and did a nice job. I thought if J.B. came back, they needed to rework the offense regardless because it was clunky. It didn't work, and it was so based around two guards. Well, your two guards are still your two leading scorers, but it doesn't seem like it's based around two guards because they're not dominating the ball all the time, and I like that. And I give Kenny Atkinson and his staff a lot of credit because it's working, and it's working really well. I love what Caris LeVert's doing off the bench. He's getting a lot of playing time. Ty Jerome, who was out all last year with injuries except for a couple of games, has been really nice coming off the bench, Andy. He's done a really nice job.
Can we talk about that game winner for a second? How much fun that was.
Sure.
I mean, if you think about it, if you
missed it, explain it.
So they're down 113-112. They've got the ball out of bounds with, what was it, like 9? I'll have the exact second. It was 9.8 seconds to go, right? So they bring the ball inbounds, and it's Evan Mobley. And Evan Mobley throws it into Donovan Mitchell, and the ball goes way up in the air, full extension. And somehow or another, he's able to touch the ball in the front court and then kind of tip it back to himself, almost going into a backcourt violation. I mean, this play never should have worked like three times. So first of all, the inbounds pass was crazy. He had to tip it to himself, Mitchell did, to get it, and then he was really close to the backcourt line. Then he composed himself. He got the ball. He got to the top of the three and lost the ball. The ball was rolling out of bounds and still was able to save his dribble, turn around, come back in, and boom, hit the game winner.
Boom.
0.3 seconds to go. That never should have happened. Never. There were more mistakes on the last. No, I shouldn't say they're mistakes. Just nail biting kind of an ending. God, that was so much fun. And the look on Milwaukee fans' face, priceless. They're like, oh, we got beat at the buzzer. I love it.
The Cavs. Right
I wish
now,
it was later in the season. That's the only thing.
Kenny Atkinson obviously was a good offensive coach when he was in Brooklyn. I think he's a better offensive coach after spending time working on the Golden State Warriors staff and seeing a little different way of maybe approaching offense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's pretty free flowing at Golden State, and that's carried over here. I love the fact that he said he wanted to go deep with the rotation. Andy, this is weird. You don't see this in the NBA very often. Right now, there are 9 guys on the Cavaliers playing at least 18 minutes a game, and nobody playing more than 29.6.
I don't. You win.
That's,
I don't,
that's
how,
really
how do you,
cool.
How do you argue about it when you're winning?
No, I think that's
no,
really
I'm
cool.
I'm just saying, if you're a player, I'm not getting enough time.
Oh.
Right?
You know,
there's no argument. When you're winning, you totally buy into the whole team concept. It's when you start losing and be like, oh, we're losing. How come we're not playing so-and-so so much more? Right? When you're winning, everything's great.
Well, and here's the thing. 4 leading scorers. Donovan Mitchell, long-term contract. Darius, long-term contract. Evan Mobley, extension. Jared Allen, long-term contract. These guys are all, they're all locked in. So you're not playing your 34 minutes a night. Hey, congratulations. You have a much better chance of feeling better in the morning and being healthy all season long. And your team's winning. I just, it's a really entertaining style of basketball to watch. And I would imagine it's a really entertaining style of basketball to play. And by giving other guys some playing time, you've allowed them to show their abilities. And that's helped. I mean, Sam Merrill, when he played last year, showed that he's got a shot. I mean, Sam can just flat out shoot it. And you're allowing him to do some things. He's at 7 points a game. And Ty Jerome was with Kenny at Golden State. So Kenny knew something about him there and obviously has done some things. He's at 9.9 points per game. I mean, who expected that out of your backup point guard right now? And he's moving the ball as well. And I've always liked Dean Wade. And the fact that you've got a 6'9 guy, Andy, who can keep up with a lot of small forwards, takes what is a not very big team and makes them bigger, at least in their starting rotation right now. And I think that's a really good thing. And they're doing all this without Max Strus,
right?
Who I think is a key component here. Now, do they end up with too many guys when Max Strus comes back? Maybe. Maybe. Except for one thing. Can you have too many guys?
Nope.
I don't think so either.
And the injury bug that we witnessed last year proved that, didn't it?
No. I mean, they're playing 10 guys a lot of time. Max will be 11, so somebody will lose some playing time. I don't think you'll play 11, but you could play 10. And, you know, as the season goes on, maybe that rotation gets tightened up a little bit. But right now, everything Kenny Atkinson said he was going to do, he's done. The offense, much more free-flowing. It's working better. It's much more efficient. The ball doesn't stick. You're getting open looks. Sorry. Proof that two big guys can play together in the NBA. Golly, go figure. Go figure.
You know what I always keep forgetting? Tristan Thompson's on this team.
Well, Tristan Thompson's playing a great role for Tristan Thompson.
I know. 4 minutes a game. I owe you 9 against Toronto.
No, he's a veteran. He's been around. He's been successful. He can help. The one thing I can't even say I'm disappointed in it because I'm not, because they're 7-0 and playing great ball. And I want to see Jalen Tyson, their first-round draft choice, who I think has a really nice all-around game. I thought he might get some minutes here and might be a guy who steps in and is a clear rotational player at the small forward spot. So far, that's not happened. Second fewest minutes on the team. So keep that in mind. You've got a guy sitting there who you think might be able to really help you, and he hasn't played yet. And Craig Porter Jr., who they like a lot and gave a contract to, and JB played a lot, and they seem to like him, he's barely played. Interesting.
Well, Tyson's dealing with hip injury right now, right? Yeah.
And well done.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a guy who's barely played.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens with him. I like it. Congratulations to the Cavs on the great start. Tonight, Milwaukee again. Giannis, we'll see. Boy, they need some help. And remember, Doc Rivers got that great big contract to leave the broadcast table and go to Milwaukee. And so far, that hasn't worked out real well.
Mm-mm.
Kevin Stefanski's press conference coming up shortly, like in minutes. You'll hear it right here on The Fan.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.